Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Thank Goodness It's Folk here on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM in Sheffield, on digital radio in Sheffield, and around the world on the internet at www.sheffieldlive.org. The whole program will be available, as usual, as a Mixcloud podcast later on. I'm James Fagan, broadcasting, as usual, with Sam Hindley, and we're together again today in the studio, which is always the way we like to record the show, best of all. And we inspire one another with the tracks we play, and we hopefully will have that exact thing today. We've already got quite excited about some of the coincidences and programming decisions we've made, and we can't wait to share them with you. One of the most exciting things today is that we both chose, for different reasons, the song which is going to be the feature of Fiddler's Green, which is where we play a contemporary song that sounds like it could be traditional, and we've got good reasons to play that song. I'm not going to give it away yet. You'll have to listen to find out what it is. We're also up to Child Ballad 170, which is the beautiful and extremely moving ballad, The Death of Queen Jane, and we're lucky to be joined by Jess Arrowsmith, who must be one of the busiest people on the folk scene at the moment, as she literally drives her way back with Nigel from Chippenham, where she's been after Chester as well, and it will be playing with Sawol tonight and Melrose Quartet, and it just keeps going. But she also has recorded one of the most beautiful versions of that ballad, and we'll talk to her about the song and hear her version. We've also got a mixture of old and new folk songs for you and folk tunes. Lots and lots of music. Let us know if you're listening, and keep listening to Thank Goodness It's Folk.
If I had another penny, I would deaf another deal. I would make the piper play the bonny lass of Biker Hill.
Biker Hill and Walker Shore, Coyle lads forevermore. Biker Hill and Walker Shore, Coyle lads forevermore.
The pitmen and the gillman trim, they drink bumble made from gin. Then to dance they do begin to the tune of Elsie Malley.
Biker Hill and Walker Shore, Coyle lads forevermore. Biker Hill and Walker Shore, Coyle lads forevermore.
When first I went down to the dirt, I had no gown or no pit shirt. Now I've gotten two or three Walker pits done well by me.
Biker Hill and Walker Shore, Coyle lads forevermore.
hit it with a shovel and it danced a jig all the way to Walker's Shore to the tune of Lord Elsie Marley. Biker Hill and Walker's Shore, Collier lads forevermore. Biker Hill and Walker's Shore, Collier lads forevermore.
The Extraordinary Young Tradition, live Oberlin 1968 with their version of Biker Hill. Welcome to Thank Goodness It's Folk today. Thank you for joining us, and we've got lots of great music for you. Hello, Sam.
Hello, James. It's nice to be back in the studio together.
And certainly is.
As you say, we've got lots and lots of great music for you today. Really looking forward to going through this week's playlist. I'm going to start with Rachel Newton, who we're delighted is coming to Live at Sam's in a couple of weeks' time. That will be on the 13th of June. And you can get your tickets through the Live at Sam's website. From her album West, this is Once I Had a True Love.
He's gone and he's left me. He's gone and he's left me.
very wonderful Topette, and you should go and see them if you can. They're going to be on tour, maybe near you. They're in Lancaster. Let me see where they are. They're at Aberystwyth at the Fire in the Mountain tomorrow night. Tonight, they're at Weedon Balfolk. Then on Monday the 2nd, they're in Lancaster at the Gregson Centre. Tuesday the 3rd in Gateshead at the Masonic Hall. And on Wednesday the 4th, they come to Sheffield at Crooks Social Club. And if you're in Sheffield, do get along to see Topette. You know you're in for a great time with that band. You'll be dancing. Or if you want to listen as well, they are quite happy for you to just sit and listen as well while the dancing goes on. That came from Bourdon, their album, and the track was Pot Neuf and De La Flamme. Speaking of Crooks Social Club, there is a very important concert on there tonight, and I will be there, and I really hope you can come along. The concert is in aid of the S6 Food Bank, and it's the second annual fundraiser that we've put on with the help of Harry Welburn. This year it is being curated by Richard Arrowsmith and features in no particular order the wonderful and rarely seen Sheffield brilliant musician Gina Lafoe, a new duo called Darius the Mead, and you've got to see them. Very, very good, and very good company as well. And see if you can see their debut gig, I believe it is in Sheffield anyway, Darius the Mead. Also, you will see the lovely Sarah Matthews and Doug Yunson, with whom we ended last week's program, and Melrose Quartet. But most excitingly, I think, for me, is that Sawol will be making their Sheffield debut tonight at Crooks Social Club. There are still tickets available. You can get them on the door, or you can still get them from We Got Tickets. Look up the S6 Food Bank fundraiser. I said that we were going to speak to Jess Arrowsmith. She is appearing in two of the bands I just mentioned tonight, Sawol and Melrose Quartet. But she also happens to be a fine, fine singer of ballads, and it is her version of The Death of Queen Jane, which we're going to look at in this week's Friday's Child. Before we get to Friday's Child, though, let's talk to Jess about what she's got coming up as we join her somewhere on the M1 as she makes her way home from Chippenham Folk Festival.
Hello.
Hello, Jess. It's James and Sam here on Thank Goodness It's Folk. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you, James and Sam. How are you doing?
Hello. Are you all right?
I'm good, thank you.
You've had quite the weekend of it, Jess, I happen to know, because you have been up and down the road with the very patient Nigel Holmes, from Chester to Chippenham and back again and back again to Chippenham. It's been quite the weekend for you.
It has indeed. We are still on the road, on the way home from Chippenham, as I am talking to you.
Well, we hope you had a great time with Nifty at Chippenham. Did everything go well for them?
It did. It was fabulous, thank you. They all danced their socks off and had a brilliant time.
Jess, before we talk to you about The Death of Queen Jane, which is this week's child ballad and one of my favourite of the songs you sing, that gives us a quick opportunity to tell people about something happening with Nifty. Could you just tell us what Nifty is and what your association with it is and what the big event coming up is?
Absolutely, yeah. So Nifty are the National Youth Folk Troupe of England, and they are a team of 10 to 18-year-olds from all over the country, primarily a dance team, dancing all the different traditions from around England, so different types of Morris and clog and sword dancing, that kind of thing. But they also all sing and play musical instruments. And I am lucky enough to be the artistic director of the group. Nifty are a charity, and sometimes we take the team to different festivals, such as Chippenham, where we're on our way home from, but also sometimes put on events of our own. And in 2 weeks' time, on the 7th of June, Nifty and Melrose Quartet are presenting a day in Bristol at Bristol Beacon, which is partly kind of a youth folk day. So there's youth workshops in the morning, but then a concert in the afternoon, which is open to anybody who wants to come, not just youth, which is a showcase of material in particular from the Music Heritage Place project, which I think probably your listeners have heard a little bit about already.
We spoke to Nancy about that just on a couple of weeks ago, just before the BBC Radio 3 show came out, Jess.
Yeah. So it's a really exciting project, looking at archive material from all around the country, different bits of traditional song and dance as well, and tunes that haven't necessarily been looked at recently or in a performance sort of sense for a long time. And Nifty have been using quite a bit of that material in their repertoire this year. So on the 7th of June, there's a very special concert, which is Nifty and Melrose Quartet and the participants of the workshops in the mornings showcasing some of that material, shining a light on stuff that hasn't necessarily been performed that way ever before. So that's going to be really exciting. And then we've got a Cayley in the evening as well. So if people would be interested in coming along to that, they can look on the Bristol Beacon website. That's where the ticket sales are happening. And we'd love to have as many people along as possible.
Fabulous, Jess. Well, we're going to play the jingle now for the Friday's Child feature, and then we'll talk to you about this week's Child Ballad.
Friday's Child.
Friday's Child, that's me.
A Child Ballad every Friday.
Well, Jess, this week we are up to Child Ballad 170, and Sam and I were both very delighted to see that it was a very important and quite widely recorded Child Ballad, which is The Death of Queen Jane. And it's a fascinating one for several reasons, and I want your opinion about the ballad and also tell us about your version. But I'll just set the background for people. It's a quite a rare Child Ballad in the sense that it talks about actual, without doubt, actual members of the English royalty. It seems to be a story about Jane Seymour giving birth to the child who would become Edward VI, the child of the male heir that Henry VIII so wanted. But it's unusual in several respects, one of which is that it's an incredibly personal song and an incredibly intimate and personal look at the danger of labour for women, and also the death of women in childbirth, which was so common, in fact, that I've been reading today that many royal women, queens and princesses and so forth, were absolutely sure that they had their will put in place before they even attempted to have a child, because they knew that they might die in the process. It's an astonishing thing to think about, and I suppose one of the reasons that people still sing the ballad is that it captures something that so few ballads from historical times do. What do you think about the song?
I think it's an absolutely beautiful song to sing, but yeah, you're right, it's a very emotional one. It's a song that I've been singing really as long as I've been singing in front of people. I learned it when I was a teenager from the Bossy Band, who have a very sort of well-known and influential recording of it. A very sort of Irish-style tune.
Yes, well, in fact,
Jess, beautiful.
It is a beautiful tune, and I've only just found out recently that it was modernly composed by Dahi Sproul, who gave it to Micheál O'Donnell, and also that tune became widely recorded around the world. And I assumed it was traditional, but it was by Dahi Sproul, who is part of Altan and is a very well known singer, songwriter, and guitarist. His tune almost sort of became one of the ubiquitous tunes from it, but it's not the one that you use, is it?
So when I first started singing that song, it's beautiful. Really enjoyed singing it, but I did feel that it was very Irish, partly because I'd learned it from the singing of the Bossy Band. And it felt like some sort of weird double cultural appropriation, really, because obviously it's a song about an English monarch, but with a very Irish feeling tune, and then here I am, English, singing it, and I just sort of felt, well, maybe I don't want to use that tune for it. And I had an interesting experience. I've not had this happen to any other song as a songwriter or a tune writer. I had been at a festival, I'd been to Warwick Festival actually, came home, was tired, had a nap, woke up, the entire tune fully formed was in my head, that this is the tune that I want to sing this song to. And to be absolutely honest, I wasn't even sure whether I'd written it or not, or whether I'd just, like, you know, absorbed it from somewhere else and regurgitated it. I'm not aware of that tune existing outside of my head before that. I haven't found it anywhere else, so I think I wrote it.
I think you did too, Jess. I think you wrote
it. It was delivered
too.
To me.
Indeed.
So, yeah.
Tell us about what it's like to sing, because you and I both often talk about how we are both quite sentimental people and that we're often publicly moved by the simplest things, even just watching a movie or something. How do you go about singing a ballad like that, which I know you find deeply moving and intense, without losing it?
I find, as yeah, you're right. As a singer who does feel the emotions of the songs quite deeply, I find I have to kind of work through that in private first before I sing it in public.
Yeah.
With this particular one, because it was a song that I've been singing since I was a teenager, I'd kind of done that in stages over a decade before I started trying to actually stand up on a stage in front of a, you know, a paying audience to do that. But yeah, I mean, because I do find that what I want to give as a delivery of a performance of that, I want that connection and I want the audience to feel those emotions. So if I just shut off from that completely, I don't think I would do the same job. So it's just kind of trying to hold on to the feeling without letting the vocal fall apart, which, you know, it depends. Sometimes that's more challenging than others. I do remember singing it whilst heavily pregnant, and then looking around at the audience and thinking, wow, I don't know whether this was the right song choice, because they might all be worried I'm about to go into labour.
Well, Jess, you've just reminded me that when you and I were on a car trip one time, on a rare occasion we didn't have Richard or Nancy, I should say, in the car with us or the kids, and you and I decided to listen to Corinne Paulwart's album about delivery and childbirth and about the trials therein for women through history. And one of the songs Corinne sings is this song, and Sam has chosen her version as well. We're going to play two versions. We're going to play Corinne as well. And you and I think wonderful. I had to pull over, didn't I? Because we were both crying.
You did. We both had a little weep because it's just so, your observation about, you know, childbirth at that time was such a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
And so many people did not survive that. Mm. And I think we're very lucky to live at a time when it's much rarer. I'm not saying it never happens that bad things happen at that stage, but it's much rarer now that somebody will end up not surviving the birth of their child. But at various points in history, that was kind of the expectation, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
And so, all sorts of complicated things tied up in that.
Jess, it's a very sentimental and romantic imagining of the relationship between King Henry VIII and Jane Seymour. Do you think it's just a poetic license, or do you think he genuinely... Having sung it now and thought about it for a long time, what's your opinion?
My take on it, partly based on historical fact, is that he did actually like Jane Seymour.
Mm.
You know, monarchs didn't always like their wives at all, and he obviously had quite a few of them. But when Henry VIII... eventually did die, survived by only one of his wives, so he had five that had already gone before him. It was Jane Seymour that he was buried with. So that must tell you something.
Yes, and he didn't have her beheaded, which is always a good sign.
Well, quite, no, yes.
Yeah. The last thing I want to ask you about the ballad before we hear your beautiful version, Jess, is the ending itself, where King Henry VIII says, "If I lose the flower of England, I'll lose the branch too." What does that actually mean to you? What is he saying at that point? Is he authorising the caesarean or is he not?
Well, I think he's saying that he isn't.
Mm.
And historically, I believe she didn't actually have a caesarean.
No, that's
right. In the song, she is begging for a caesarean because she's feeling that she can't give birth to this child.
Yeah.
Historical records seem to suggest that actually she died 12 days after the birth of the baby, probably from, you know, sepsis infection type thing, which again, that sort of infection, very common at the time.
Yeah.
But that, you know, she didn't have a caesarean despite the fact that she seemed to have been asking for one. So who knows whether she really did seem to think that was the right answer for her, but that probably isn't what happened. But either way, my interpretation of that verse of the song is that he's saying, I can't do this without you.
Yeah.
I need you to survive this.
I agree.
If I lose you, it's all going to fall to pieces.
Yeah, that's right.
And so then the fact that the very final verse essentially has a celebration because the baby has been born, and yet she has now died.
Mm.
It's just so bittersweet.
It is indeed. Well, Jess, I'm really glad you were able to spare some time to talk to us about it on the road. And thanks, Nigel, for keeping your ship on course as you make your way back to Sheffield. And we're going to hear your beautiful version that came to you in a dream. And I, for one, am very grateful that you reset this, because much as I love the Bothy Band's tune, it's always nice to hear a singer inhabit a song fully themselves. And that's exactly what you've done. So thank you and good luck with everything. Good luck with the S6 Food Bank gig. I'll see you there. That is on tonight as the show goes out. At Crook Social Club, so you'll be able to see Jess with Sawol. You'll be there with Sawol as well. That's very exciting.
Yes, I'm very excited.
See you there tonight, and hopefully lots of other people too, as we raise money for the Essex Food Bank. And I'll see you tonight, Jess, and so will Sam.
Thanks, James. Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, see you soon. See you soon, Jess.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Queen Jane lay in labour for 9 days and more, till her women grew tired and could no longer bear, and could no longer bear. Good women, good women, wait a
from their album Customs and Exercise, that was Jess and Richard Arrowsmith with Child Ballad 170, The Death of Queen Jane. And we, before that, we were talking to Jess Arrowsmith about her version, and that was her own tune, her own setting. One of the interesting things looking through the collected tunes for this ballad over the centuries is that it's one of the English/Scottish ballads that has cropped up a lot in America as well. And there are several tunes collected, partly by Cecil Sharp and Maud Carpley's when they were over on their big trip, but by American collectors as well. And one of those old American tunes came back across the pond and was recorded by Corinne Paulwood, and she's recorded two versions of this in her time, both of them stunningly beautiful. And this was your choice, Sam, for this week's Child Ballad. So here is another version of this hauntingly beautiful ballad, this time with an American tune sung by Corinne Paulwood.
pain and her hour of need. King Henry came to her and he sat by her bedside. Sail, what ails thee, my genie? What ails thee, my bride? One thing for me, rip open my right side and find my baby. Oh, genie, that never will do. It would lease thy sweet life and thy young baby too. She wept and she wailed till she fell into a swoon, and her right side was open and her baby was found. Well, that baby was christened the very next day. Six men went before her, and four more travelled on, while loyal King Henry stood mourning alone. He wept and he wailed until he was sore. Shall flourish no more. He sat by the river with his head in his hands, saying, my merry England is a sorrowful.
That was Corinne Polwart there with Death of the Queen Jane. That version is from her album of traditional songs, Fairest Floor. And that's this week's child ballad, Child 170. And thank you to Jess Arrowsmith for chatting to us about that. Now, it was Martin Carthy's 84th birthday last week. Happy birthday, Martin. To celebrate, Martin, on the day, released a new album of mainly re-recordings of material that he's done before, a lot from his first album, but lots of classic tracks, one of which we'll be playing later on with a very interesting link indeed. And but when I first heard this, I've been saving this for release week. When I first heard this, it absolutely floored me. This is a spoken word version of the famous flower of serving men.
My mother showed me a deadly spite, for she sent thieves in the dark of the night, put my servants all to flight. They've robbed my bower, they slew my knight. They could do to me no harm, so they slew my baby in my arm, left me nought to wrap him in but the bloody sheet that he lay in. They left me nought to dig his grave but the bloody sword that slew my babe. All alone the grave I made, and all alone the tear I shed, and all alone the bell I rang, and all alone the psalm I sang. I leaned my head all against the block, and there I cut my lovely locks. I cut my locks, and I changed my name from Fair Eleanor to to sweet William, went to court to serve my king as the famous flower of serving men. So well I served my lord the king that he made me his chamberlain. He loved me as his son, the famous flower of serving men. Oft time he'd look at me and smile, so swift his heart I did beguile, and he blessed the day that I became the famous flower of serving men. But all alone in my bed at e'en, it's there I dreamed a dreadful dream. I saw my bed swim with blood. I saw the thieves all around my head. Our king has to the hunting gone. He's ta'en no lords nor gentlemen. He's left me there to guard his home, the famous flower of serving men. Our king, he rode the woods all around. He stayed all day, but nothing found. And as he rode himself alone, it's there he spied the milk-white hind. Oh, the hind she broke, the hind she flew, the hind she trampled the bramble through. First she'd melt, and then she'd sound, sometimes before, sometimes behind. What is this? How can it be? Such a hind as this I never did see. Such a hind as this was never born. I fear she'll do me deadly harm. And long, long did the great horse turn to save his lord from branch and thorn. Long ere the day was o'er, they tangled all in his yellow hair. All in a glade the king drew nigh, where the hind shone so bright in his eye. He sprang down, sword drew, she vanished there, all from his view. And all around the grass was green, and all around where a grave was seen, he sat himself down on the stone. Great weariness it seized him on, great silence hung from tree to sky, the woods grew still, the sun hung fire. As through the wood the dove he came, as through the woods he made his moan. Oh, the dove, he sat down on a stone, so sweet he looked, so soft he sang. Alas, the day my love became the famous flower of serving men. The bloody tears, they fell as rain. Still he sat, still he sang. Alas, the day my love became the famous flower of serving men. Our king cried out and he wept full sore, so loud unto the dove he did call, "Pretty bird, come sing it plain, pretty bird, come sing again." Oh, it was her mother's deadly spite, for she sent thieves in the dark of the night. They came to rob, they came to slay, they made their sport, they went their way. And don't you think that her heart was sore as she laid the mould on his yellow hair? And don't you think her heart was woe as she turned about all the way to go? And how she wept as she changed her name from fair Eleanor to sweet William, went to court to serve her king as the famous flower of serving men. The bloody tears, they lay all around. He's mounted up, and away he's gone. One thought come to his mind, the thought of her that was a man. And as he rode himself alone, a dreadful oath he there has sworn, that he would hunt her mother down, as he would hunt the wildwood swine. For there's 24 ladies all, and they're all playing at the ball, fairer than all of them is the famous flower of serving men. Our king rode in into his hall, and he's rode in among them all. He's lifted her to his saddle brim. He's kissed her there, both cheek and chin. The lords all stood and they stretched their eyes. The ladies hid in their hands and smiled, for a stranger homecoming no gentleman had ever seen. And he has sent his nobles all to her mother. They have gone, they've ta'en her that did such wrong, and they've lain her down in a prison strong. And he's brought men up from the corn, and he's sent men down to the thorn, all to build the bonfire high, all for to set her mother by. For there she stood, all among the thorn, and there she sang her deadly song. Alas, the day that she became the famous flower of serving men. Bonnie sang the morning thrush, all where he sat in yonder bush. Louder did her mother cry in the bonfire where she burned close by. For the fire took first upon her cheek, and there it took all on her chin. It spat and it rang in her yellow hair, as there she burnt like hokey green.
Est-ce que gagne moon un cinq fois dimanche qui mettait tête you ensemble ou you par la clope au moins?
Malin obéit son chapeau. Malin obéit son chapeau. Porte à terre pas gommé, ne porte à faire. Porte à terre pas gommé, ne porte à faire. Malin obéit son chapeau. Malin obéit son chapeau. Faut-il m'acheter en prison de veiller? Faut-il
Duvalier, during the Duvalier years of the dictatorship in Haiti, to me it was a period of silence and of fear. I was 17, my family, my uncle, my aunt, and four of my cousins were arrested and they were killed. They were taken to Fort Dimanche, the infamous prison under the Duvalier regime, and they were killed. And to me, that event really marked my choice. I decided that I could no longer accept this to continue. And one way I thought I could change it is by being a journalist.
Faut-il acheter en prison sans conscience? Faut-il acheter en prison sans conscience? Ma couille en voyant n'a qu'à chaud prison. Moi t'es fait, moi t'es fait, moi t'es fait.
Extraordinary Layla McCalla from her album Breaking the Thermometer. That was Fort Dimanche, which she wrote after reading about the history of the notorious prison called Fort Dimanche in Haiti, which is where Layla McCalla's family originate. And a lot of her work is in Haitian Creole as well as English. You might also know her from her work with Our Native Daughters. And before that, she was a cello player for some time in the Carolina Chocolate Drops. A wonderful, wonderful artist. Before that, you heard the extraordinary and one and only Martin Carthy reciting in spoken word form one of his very favourite of the Child Ballads, a version which he helped create, really, by putting some more context into the song that he thought was necessary. And if you didn't hear Martin on our Thank Goodness It's Folk feature on that ballad, you can go back on Mixcloud and find the issue, the episode in which Martin explores the famous Flower of Serving Men, because it is such a powerful ballad. And that song and Martin are so associated with one another.
Yeah.
But Sam, incredible to sit back and listen to it as a poem, isn't it? It's so striking.
It is, James. When it's one of them pieces that I sit at home and I can be doing stuff while I'm listening to music, but it's one of those pieces that I just have to stop and just listen to it, because it is so striking, just the way that he does that.
He delivers it brilliantly, yeah. And I think it's worth remembering that he was an actor as well as a singer, and he has the gravitas in his voice.
Yeah.
But also it reminds me, Sam, that because the tune he put to it is so good, and his arrangement on the guitar is so good, it's easy sometimes to be lulled away from the story by the brilliance of his music. So to really focus on the text itself is amazing.
Absolutely.
And a reminder that actually the Child Ballads were written originally in Francis James Child just as lyrics. They were just there as poems, really. And it's a quite a modern phenomenon to want to have a tune set to every single one of them. Some of them just exist, as we found out in the Robin Hood section, as bits of poetry.
Indeed, James. But then you get into another interesting discussion, because June Tabor then says as well that the music makes the difference.
That's right. Yeah. For her, it is the Child Ballads are defined by the songs that they produced and shouldn't be regarded as such. So it's fascinating. If you have any thoughts on this, do let us know, because Sam and I are dedicating quite a lot of our time and thought to the Child Ballads, and we hope we're not just sending it out into a void. So if you are interested in what we're doing with these Child Ballads, and you've found this section of our program interesting, please let us know, and let us know what you think about any ones that are coming up as well, if you want to look ahead and see what we've got coming up. In the meantime, Sam, what shall we have? I think it's your turn to tune something.
Shall we have, since I can see it, should we just have a tune from the great band Trip. They are they're from the Isle of Man and Scotland, I believe. And also the North East. They feature Michael Biggins and Alistair Frost has asked for a tune from Trip. So here they are. This is Trip. Thank you.
Wonderful from Trip, and Sam mentioned the Isle of Man connection with that band, and I'm going to end the first half with another wonderful couple of musicians from the Isle of Man, Ruth Kagan and Rachel Hare. This comes from the album Lausanne and is called Mish Asigheen, and Sam and I will be back with more in the second half, so don't go away. You're here on Thank Goodness It's Folk on Sheffield Live.
As a keen, as a clan spare fallen, as Gerherufut, a kagan an eye, Verkeken Gerians bolke garum, as mish malamakan a try. O de rami mae ieilio pwych dy rai a sychlau mae gyd y trai sych yn eich tas dy sgrwm yn ym a sy hyl ych mag sliam se rys y fai fac yn sy'n ffein i'r sio arach sy feiens bi hi blint yn roman sos dan liawer ys dri sgari a ffyc am i feim y helion o cam i sych yn eich tent as mychri bydd o hos ma felys ni mysd y ddawn ni mysd y chafn elen tom y lian yw ben y sreid o chalyn si sy ddych o'n y mîn bydd o hos ma felys bydd o hos ma felys ni mysd y ddawn ni mysd y chafn elen tom y lian yw ben y sreid o chalyn si sy ddych o'n y mîn da clyc ha er y dod fyn i'n liam y ffod cas y gach
Cabanachdod o mochrim y stôr.